And we're back. Thanks for staying tuned to WVFF 97.7 FM, and now more true crime in the Lowcountry.
Now let's go to Friday the 24th. Murdo was on the stand for 2 days. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, this is important, because on Friday night, Becky goes home, and this is where the fake Facebook page comes to light, where Becky says, well, I was just perusing Walterboro word of mouth on Facebook, and I saw something about a Tim Stone and about an ex-wife who's on the Murdaugh jury, and she's talking and this and that. And that was Friday, February 24th. Now, the problem with that is, and it's come to find out all through investigation and the Justice Toll hearing, that Tim Stone has nothing, zero. He lives in Georgia. Is not her ex-husband, has nothing to do with Becky Hill. And he did go off on a rant about an ex-wife, but he deleted that post on February 16th. That's been verified. So you tell me, if he's deleting it, he deleted it on the 15th, and he said that on the 16th of February. How in the world is Becky Hill seeing this post on February 24th if it was deleted on February 15th? So why this is important, because on Monday, February 27th, this is when Becky Hill reports the fake Facebook page post to Judge Newman. She says she overheard Newman discussing a juror. And on the exact same day, ladies and gentlemen of 97.7, on the exact same day that Hill told Newman about the now fake Facebook post, okay? That is the exact same day. Not the day before, not the day after, the exact same day Newman receives the anonymous email. And later, to be revealed that the person who sent the anonymous email was Christine Avery, the person who worked at Domino's Pizza. And her co-worker was the tenant of one said Myra Crosby. Hill said she just figured, and I put this in air quotes, ladies and gentlemen, Hill claims she just figured that the post referred to Juror 785, when she said the Facebook post, it just referred to her when asked about it by Judge Newman. And the exchange about the Facebook page happens like this. She says, when I was in the courtroom, according to Hill, on a Monday morning, listening to Judge and the attorneys talking about a matter, it sounded like it was relevant to each other. That's what she said in the evidentiary hearing in front of Justice Toll. And Dick Harpootlian, my buddy Dick Pooty Poot, he responded, he says, you knew it was tied to that juror, 785? And Hill says, I didn't know that it was. I wasn't sure at all. And then Harpootlian pressed, he says, who do you think it was tied to? And Hill came back and says, well, from what y'all were talking about at the bench, I felt like I needed to let him, Newman, know just in case it was related. There was something about an ex-husband and an ex-wife and somebody being on the jury. Now, ladies and gentlemen, at 97.7, I ask you the question. You're sitting in your car, you're sitting at home, you're listening to the radio. How many people do you think on that jury have ex-husbands or ex-wives?
Well, statistically, 50% of them, but...
So let's just put this together. I'm going to string this together for you. You have Christine Avery. Okay? You have Christine Avery, works at Domino's. She is friends. Let's put this arrow with one Becky Hill, who had bought Domino's pizza for the jury 2 times during the Murdaugh trial. She allegedly overhears a co-worker talking about their landlord saying that Murdaugh was not guilty, something along those lines. And she decides to send a very well-written email to Judge Newman.
So you figure that that's the black hand? That's the black hand over 785's head?
Well, this all comes on one day, just days apart from when she's crying on in the jury box, handing Murdaugh tissues. I mean, last time I looked, 2 + 2 = 4. So on Tuesday, Judge Newman meets with the counsel to discuss the anonymous email Christine Avery sent the day before. At this point, no one knows it's Christine Avery. It wasn't until later on that Christine Avery admitted she was the one that did it. And this is when Myra is questioned in the judge's chambers. So she's outside smoking on a jury break, and that's when Becky Hill calls her, and Mr. Bill, Bailiff Bill, goes and gets her. And then later that night, SLED agents remove Crosby's tenants from their home and interrogate them, and then allegedly coercing them into affidavits the next day. But this is when Myra says that she started crying because Becky told her about the ex-husband. And she had 3 restraining orders out on this ex-husband, who she hadn't seen in over 10 years. And she thought that he was inside the courtroom. And then Becky told her that, you know, well, I'll get those restraining orders put back on. Which the clerk of court does not have.
Well, how can the power of court to do that? Yeah.
Only a judge has the power to do that.
Right.
But here's what's more interesting on February
28th. I'm wondering, man, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall.
By the way, if you want to follow what I'm talking about, go to Crab and Cask, look at Becky Hill, you'll find this article. But here's what's interesting. On February 28th, that's that Tuesday. So Tuesday, Newman meets with counsel to discuss the anonymous email, okay? Now, attorney Eric Bland, your buddy Eric, EB, he appears on a YouTube live stream discussing a note sent to the judge about a juror. Now, this just is hours after it was discussed in Judge Newman's chambers, in camera, in private. February 28th, the evening of February 28th, Bland is telling everybody the judge got a note about a juror. And this information wasn't public yet. But what we have to do is start connecting more dots. So what does Eric Bland do? Well, Eric Bland is an attorney, but he's also a podcaster on Lunashark.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also the Attorney General's office, well-known and well-documented, where Bland himself saying he and Creighton Waters spoke and texted daily. I have no idea why Eric Bland would say that, but he did. He had nothing to do with this trial, except he had a financial interest in seeing Murdaugh found guilty. Bland did not work for the prosecution or the defense. So how did Bland, who gave Bland that information that Myra Crosby at that time didn't even know was out and available? The only people that were in the judge's chambers was the judge, the prosecution, the defense, Myra, and a court reporter. Oh, and possibly Becky Hill. I think Becky Hill, or at least the bailiff. So somebody tell me how Eric Bland knows this.
This judge was...
Well, he should have declared mistrial right there. When Judge Newman said the words, "I'm not very happy with Clerk Hill interrogating one of my jurors," right there, then and there, I don't care if it was the last day of the trial, that should have been a mistrial. Because on March 1st, which was Wednesday, so the tenants all of a sudden, they appear in court. And SLED sticks them in an office and by themselves for 9 hours. Can you imagine that? Sitting there for 9 hours in the county court up by yourself, no one coming in. And then finally they come back in with these affidavits. Now these people are like a dog who's been in the cage all day, who hasn't been let out since 8 o'clock in the morning. It's 5 o'clock at night. And you think the dog's going to stop and read the affidavit? He just wants to go outside. He wants to get down.
No.
Right? So they said, "What are we signing?" And they're like, "What you told us last night." So they're like, "Fine." They signed it and they left.
You know, it's ironic. It's ironic that Alex was tried in a legal system that was just as haphazard as the legal system that he made his living in all these years.
100%. 100%.
I mean, it's like poetic justice, you know?
But listen to this. Here goes. It's the same day. This is Wednesday the 1st. Okay? This is the day before deliberations. Eric Bland tweets out, "Right now, at least 10 jurors' minds are made up." That that's a statement of fact. Now, I ask the question, how does Bland know that 10 jurors have their mind made up? And who are the other two jurors that don't? Well, one of them would be Myra. Okay? So, I asked the question, who told him that? And then Becky Hill wrote in her book that she believed that the verdict was going to be a quick one. You remember that? This is going to be a quick verdict. Well, how did she know that? How did Eric Bland know that all these people were guilty, guilty, guilty? Because, you know, anytime you're involved in any type of trial, any type of jury, you have no idea what that jury's going to do. They could have been out for 3-4 days. How's Becky Hill know? By the way, Myra alleges in her book that the jury foreperson, the actual jury foreperson in that trial, was also friends with Becky prior to that trial. Yeah, right? It just keeps on piling up.
Yeah, I know. Listen, with a county as small as this, the miscarriage of justice number one was that they didn't do...
Recuse yourself.
That they, well, not only that, but they should have had a change of venue.
Well, what are the sheriff's brothers who was at the crime scene that night? He was on the jury. I thought about this last night. If my brother was a sheriff, and I was on the jury, like, I believe what my brother tells me. If my brother told me this or that, you know, before I ever thought I was going to be on this trial, maybe he just kind of mentioned something, you know, or we're having drinks one night, I'm going to believe what he tells me.
Well,
so I'm going to take that belief into the jury.
As a counter to that.
Don't we have a counter?
Yeah, you do. You do. The county... The county had virtually no, I'm talking about county sheriff's department, had virtually no input put into the trial.
Yeah, they were recused that night. In fact, they made a mistake that night when they were investigating it. When they called SLED in to, listen, when this is over our heads, we need to call SLED, they should have ceased all actions. But they called SLED in, and they kept doing their thing. I don't know. Somebody dropped the bucket there. Dropped the ball. And then Mandy Matney, who's on this Luna Shark, she says on this day, on the 2nd, on March 1st, all she does is quote Creighton Waters. Now, Mandy Matney is the person who she says is responsible for getting Alec Bird out to this trial. She says a lot of things, but she's been talking about jurors. Her people allegedly doxed jurors. They posted a thing about jurors where they worked. They were supposedly not allowed back in the courtroom, and talking about jurors on her X account like it's going out of style. Except on March 1st, the only thing, and she doesn't say anything on March 1st, the only thing she says is that she quotes Creighton Waters and says that the system depends on people who take the oath as jurors who are willing to honor that oath and make the tough decision to vindicate these victims, to vindicate Paul and Maggie who were cut down in the prime of their lives, Creighton Waters. That's all she had to say.
What are these people doing now to earn
a living? Well, I'm going to get to that. So March 2nd, Crosby's officially dismissed before closing arguments that afternoon. And the official reason was she might have engaged in unverified juror misconduct. Unverified. Alleged by Becky Hill and Christine Avery. It really comes down to Becky Hill, who has now been indicted on 4 counts of felonies, and this person, Christine Avery, who works at Domino's Pizza. That is who gave Alec Murdoch a guilty verdict in this trial, because Myra Crosby, in her book Because Enough is Enough, said she was going to vote no, not guilty. And she's like, and there is nobody in that jury room, we'd have been there for a week, that could have changed my mind. So it was a hung jury until she was removed on that particular week. 2 days, 3 days after she was alleged crying, handing Murdaugh tissues. After Eric Bland states that there's two jurors that are who are out. So she's dismissed. But you have to ask yourself, who wanted a guilty verdict? Well, Becky Hill's number one on that list because Becky Hill said it in her book. Rhonda McElvin said a guilty verdict, right, sells more books. So that's number one on your list. Number two, we talked about him already, is Eric Bland. Eric Bland had a financial interest in a lot of different clients that he was representing to get a guilty verdict of Murdaugh. Number three, Mark Tinsley, who Christine Avery says that he helped her along the way with Becky Hill. What did he have to do with it? Mark Tinsley went on to secure $15 to $20 million in judgments for the boat wreck against Alec Murdaugh and Paul Murdaugh, and was suing Maggie Murdaugh. So, you know, if Murdaugh wins that case, that hurts his chances on that boat wreck case. So he wanted a guilty verdict. Number four, Luna Shark, who apparently didn't go back to the courthouse because they were kicked out, but her whole career was based off of him being guilty. She now has some Hulu movie now. She wrote a book about it. None of that would have happened if he was found not guilty. So you ask yourself, who would not want a hung jury? Now, on the second, Mandy did come back and she said, I have heard that a juror was going around saying that Alex Murdaugh is innocent, but I haven't confirmed that. Who'd she get that from? She wasn't in the courthouse. Who is saying that? This is all in judges' chambers. This is all private until he...
Which goes back to my point, which I haven't expressed, but I need to. Becky was having private conversations with Newman. Off-the-record conversations with Newman. That's the only way all these dots can be connected.
But who was telling Eric Bland all this information that was private? That's the key right there. Maybe Eric Bland will just tell us.
My guess would have to be Becky.
I don't know who it was.
If I had to just guess, but.
Well, he did say he talked to Creighton Waters every single day and texted with Creighton Waters every single day. I'm not saying Creighton Waters did it. I'm telling you that those two talked every single day. Now, that would be a severe case of prosecutorial misconduct if that were the case. And such a discloser may violate court confidentiality rules, prejudice defendant's right to a fair trial, warrant disciplinary action, or legal scrutiny. And maybe the FBI might investigate that. But I'm not saying that happened. But if that happened, that's the fallout from that one.
Well, I'm gonna, the God's honest truth, you want to know what surprises me? That the grand jury didn't come back with additional charges.
Which grand jury?
How's that? Which grand jury? Obviously, the grand jury came back with both charges in both counties that were...
Oh, against Hill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, where's the jury tampering charges? Because there's none. Excuse me.
Well, we go back to the same thing. And you're absolutely right. I would think that there should be. But... Two things, and they're conflicting. Number one, you're familiar with the phrase, a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich. All
right, yeah.
That's number one. Number two,
especially if you're given false information like they
and I'm saying the prosecutors never want to prosecute a case that's not a slam dunk. All right? And why? Because they're weighed on wins and losses.
But they didn't think this thing was a slam dunk until they opened Paul's phone. When they opened Paul's phone, then they caught him in a lie, and that's when they went after him hard. They had already had the financial evidence coming out, but this was a circumstantial case, highly circumstantial case. There was no evidence. He had no blood on him. How many times have you heard me say 0 + 0 = 0?
No. I listen, and I'm in total agreement with you here. I'm referring to Becky's charges. The jury, maybe they couldn't. They didn't have a slam dunk on the charges on jury tampering, and that's why they didn't charge her with that. Maybe, is it possible that it's going to come out?
But if they charge her with jury tampering, let's just go down that. If they charge her with jury tampering, you know that the South Carolina Supreme Court right now is waiting for the state of South Carolina to respond to the 132-page document that the defense put up that there was jury tampering. So if they arrest her for jury tampering, well, that is pretty much a, well, yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I didn't put those dots together, but that makes perfect sense.
So they're sitting on that. Somebody's waiting this thing out for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe they want to be governor.
Maybe more.
But here's my question, and this is an opinion. And this is a question I ask. Now you have Becky Hills indicted with 4 felonies, her son indicted with a felony. If there was a scheme, and I'm not saying there was, but if there was a scheme, and Becky knew about that scheme, let's just throw the email in there, let's throw the fake Facebook post in there. If something was discussed about removing Myra Crosby from that jury, and Becky Hill knows about it, what if she were to flip? What if she were to flip and start pointing fingers at people who were involved in removing Myra Crosby from that jury to save herself and her son? Now, I'm not saying any of this scheme happened, but if that scheme did happen, and if Becky Hill wants to save herself and her son, she could flip and start pointing fingers. Because now you're talking about for other individuals, and it could be social media people, it could be attorneys, it could be regular people, it could be whoever. We're talking about jury tampering. We're talking about criminal conspiracy, right? Is it a conspiracy? You need 2 or more people. You need obstruction of justice and subordination of perjury.
All right. For the sake of self-preservation.
By the way, Becky, if you're listening, call me because I got all this figured out for you.
Becky, if you're listening, stick with the program.
Don't stick with the program, Becky.
Do your time.
Flip.
Keep your mouth shut.
No, this we're not.
Do your time because
we're not in New York. This isn't the mob.
Because
flip.
Becky, I only refer to one thing. Mena, Arkansas.
Mena, are you bringing Bill Clinton in this?
I'm bringing the body count into this. I'm bringing the body count into this. And if you don't think, and if you don't think that what do you call it, that South Carolina has a body count, that only Mena, Arkansas has a body count.
Oh, South Carolina has a body count, and they're all in Beaufort County, by the way.
So, just, I ain't saying a damn thing. I ain't saying a damn thing.
Aren't you from New York?
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Right.
It's in your blood.
Right.
So I asked the question, could Becky Hill flip? And if she started pointing fingers, that could open this up. But here's the caveat for all of this, right? And people are sitting there going, well, why would the state accept her information if she, you know, came to this? Well, very good reason for that. If there were other people involved into a scheme, into a conspiracy to remove Myra Crosby, and if Becky Hill knew about it, the state now has someone else to blame besides themselves for this new trial happening for Alec Murdaugh. It is no longer the state's problem. It's seen beyond their control, and now they're going to go after those people and give Becky a deal, and let's just get this guy a new trial and get it over.
And that's what, and that's probably the most amenable solution to this whole thing.
I've blown your mind.
It's either that or, if you keep this up, I don't know what it costs, but you're going to have to get somebody to start your car every morning.
Hey, if he gets a new trial, we're going to have a tent outside the courthouse, wherever it is.
Well, it's, I got the tent.
So, I mean, think about this. I call it the web of influence. From February 24th to March 2nd of 2023, I mean, Murdaugh's taking a stand. And the closing arguments are happening. They're going to the jury. We get an anonymous email to Judge Newman sent from Christine Avery, who is a big Lunar Shark person, who's friends with Becky Hill, who has named Mark Tinsley as her attorney, has allegedly said she didn't write the email, says she only sent the email. We have a fabricated Facebook post cited from Becky Hill, claims she saw but didn't, because it didn't exist. We have Eric Bland, an attorney in South Carolina, Lunar Shark podcaster, publicly acknowledging the existence of an email or note sent to Crosby, about Crosby, to Judge Newman. And Bland was the first person to publicly state anything about any email or note passed to Newman. And then you have Bland and attorney Mark Tinsley, also key figures in this civil litigation. I mean, the web just keeps growing. Now, these people could have absolutely nothing to do with this whatsoever. And I'm not alleging that they are. I am just stating facts that are publicly known. And it all leads back to Christine Avery, and it all leads back to Becky Hill, who's been indicted on 4 charges and her son on wiretapping. None of this looks good. And why the state is trying to just dig their feet in and die on that hill for a retrial for Murdaugh, who's already in prison for 40 years anyway, you have to ask yourself, why? Right? Why are they fighting so hard?
You put all the dots together. Becky's the scapegoat. She's got to take the She's got to take the hit.
Well, yeah, but what's it to Becky Hill to take the hit? Who's she going to go to prison for? What's her light at the end of the tunnel? She's not the mob. She's not going to get back out, you know, and go see Jimmy Bag of Donuts and pick up her shy business next week after she gets out. Like, what does she have? That's her and her son's butts on the line. Flip. Silence is deadening over here.
Yeah, no. I don't know what her light is at the end of the tunnel. I'm just thinking about what she could end up with to make it worth her while.
She's going to get some time. I mean, she used federal funds to give herself, according to Sledge, she used federal funds to give herself a bonus. Federal funds that were supposed to be used for families. that does not bode well for...
Well, listen, if she was... if she was up for another election, it would hurt her. You know, nobody really cares. You got me thinking about why she shouldn't flip, or why she should flip.
She's gonna flip to save her butt.
Yeah, not happening. Not happening. Even if she flipped.
I mean, this isn't the Goodfellas.
If she flipped, what's the upside to
she
flipping?
She doesn't go to prison. Her and her son don't go to prison. That's the upside. And the upside for the state is
she's got to know. Whoa! She's not going to get. Look, she's hanging on 4 felonies. She's hanging on 4 damn felonies. They're not gonna. If she flipped, they're not gonna let 4 felonies slide. She's gonna get hit with something.
Right.
She's going to get hit with something.
I mean, I don't think they're just going to give her probation.
Oh, I don't think they're going to give her probation either. I think even if she flips, she's going to jail.
Maybe, but it would be for less time. I mean, she's what, 50, 55? I mean, You know, for 10, 15 years, that's
a long
time.
And she's a cancer survivor.
Huh?
And she's a cancer survivor.
Yeah, well, I mean...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cancer survivor, how old is she, 60?
I don't know.
She's got to be close. She's got to be close to 60.
60,
right?
Okay, I don't know.
All right. What is she going to get? Is she going to get 10? Give her 10 years? I mean, she's got four things. She's looking at... She's really looking at, if she was guilty on all charges, wild ass guess.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
She's looking at four charges at 20 years piece.
Well, each charge has a max of 10 years, so there's...
Max of 10?
Max of 10, so there's 40 years of...
All right, so 40.
They're not going to give her 40. But, just think of it. State of South Carolina, if she does, you now have somebody else to blame besides yourself.
Oh, well, that's... Listen...
Your buddy Alan Murdaugh. I just said Alan. Alan Wilson has got somebody else to blame besides his team.
All right,
and he's running.
Am I too impressionable and too easy to convince?
Listen, that should be a political.
If that, what do you call it? If she flipped and took responsibility for Alex getting a new trial,
along with others, she's got to implicate others, not just herself.
Okay. That could be that could be a path to the governor's mansion.
Absolutely. For Alan Wilson to then vigorously go after the people who did that to his trial?
That could be, yep.
He is the man of law and order.
26.
Let's go restore law and order.
Well, he better hustle. He better hustle because the election is 26.
Let's give Murdaugh a new trial. And if you've got all the evidence and you think you can do it again, then go do it again. And listen, even if you lose, he's still in prison.
I'm going to tell you something. Whoa. There will not be a new trial.
Oh, there is going to be a new trial.
No, there won't.
If the state of South Carolina doesn't give him one, the Fourth Circuit up in Richmond, Virginia, the federal court will. I promise you.
How about if they drop the charges? All right, look. With the jury tampering... With the lack of credibility with the witnesses and the expert witnesses, in air quotes, all right?
Well, it's going to cost a pretty penny.
If the state thinks that they can't make a case, drop the case.
Well, they still have financial charges. The state still
He's going to jail for the rest of his life. He's staying in jail for the financial charges. The financial charges...
The feds have him there for 40 years. Once he gets out of... If by chance they drop the charges, if by chance he was found not guilty, and he was up for parole, once he does his time in South Carolina, he just gets into a van and goes to federal prison. And he's there until 40 years or 38 years or something like that.
Yeah, but that's they're two separate things.
He's in jail for a long time.
Oh, he's not coming out.
So drop the charges? I don't see that happening.
No, I think drop the charges is the logical option.
They just choose not to pursue him?
Yep.
This is a win for Becky. This is a win for Alan Wilson. It's not a win if there was a scheme to remove Myra Crosby from that jury for whoever the other people were.
Oh, no, that's dead.
No, somebody else has to. Somebody's got to fry for that.
Oh, yeah. No, somebody is going to fry for that.
Not Becky.
No. It's going to be...
Now be careful.
Yeah, I know. Got to be careful. Real careful.
It's gonna be somebody.
It's gonna be somebody, but it's not gonna be the person that did it.
Well, we'll see.
It can't be the person that did it because it's on the tip of my tongue. It's on the tip of your tongue.
Oh, I know.
All right,
I got a list of about five people that were involved.
But you can't. What do you call it? We can't say. All right. Listen. I think we got. What do you call it? We got the hit list now. We are the hit list.
And by the way, Crime and Cask.
All right, listen. Go
to TikTok.
Give me the exit spiel.
I am all over TikTok. I am all over YouTube. If you like what you listen to today, I talk about this all the time. Go to my website. You can go look at and read these stories. You can watch them on YouTube. You can watch them on TikTok. I'm also on Instagram at Crime and Cask. You believe that? On Instagram. And on Facebook at CC News Network as a page and as Crime and Cask as a person you have to friend request.
I got to tell you that I'm so enthusiastic about this Crime and Cask thing. I just recently got in bed with the Chinese and I put TikTok on my phone.
You did?
Yeah. So now I'm going to have to subscribe to Crime and Cask.
There you go.
But
or you and 100,000 other people.
Yeah, me and 100,000. Well, I hate, you know, I'd rather be the one that stands out a little bit. But, hey, we're out of here. We beat this to death. We're going to have Jim back next week. And you're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio. You have been listening to True Crime in the Low Country with Jim Cask of Crime and Cask and Frank on Target. And Jim, I thank you too much. Always a pleasure.
Crime and Cask.
It was nice of you to come down here. And we're out of here. Johnny, take it away.
And that's all the time we have for now on True Crime in the Low Country. We hope you've enjoyed our in-depth coverage of the Murdaugh murder trial so far. Don't worry. We'll be back soon to dive even deeper into the case and bring you more chilling stories from the Lowcountry region. We thank you for listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.